Hello and welcome to Gaming Fix episode 200. Where am I? Who are you people? What am I doing here?
No, wait, nope. Wrong podcast.
Oh, sorry.
What's good, Internet, and welcome to Session 57 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I am your techno wizard from the ancient lands of Shashanka. Where do you get this stuff, Getty? Alex Arona. With me, as always, is our very own Turtle in Time, Joel DeWitt. Joel, you are Donatello.
Number one, I'm Aline Arno, the strong leader. Number two, why are we mixing up our references here? It's really dissonant. You have all these different kind of themes going on. But anyway, vote for me for November in our first Super GG election.
That's not a thing. Unless my other co-host, Eric Getty Gettinger, is trolling me. Getty, what's the meaning of this?
Oh, hey, Alex. What's the matter? A word you might lose to Joel? We should announce the results at our Extra Life coming up in November.
I don't want to think about Extra Life right now.
Let's make that a stretch goal.
Yeah. Well, we have a special guest with us again to close out our March mashup. It's your girl's favorite gelato flavor, Andre Cole, visiting from Gaming Fix. Andre, do your co-host try and overthrow you? It's a monthly thing here.
Absolutely not. I rule over Gaming Fix with an iron fist. No one dares oppose me. I'm firm but fair, and I constantly mispronounce names to show people that I could replace them at any time, Alec.
Shit, I gotta write all this down. All right, so, Andre, teach me!
Maybe. We'll see. This can be your audition.
This week, we get all looty-shooty in the backlog, continue to look at some quarantine news, and see what it takes to lead Gaming Fix with Andre. First up is our super-powered Early Adopters. Early Adopters, where we play alphas, betas, and somehow I tricked our guest into bringing some fresh content. I didn't really trick him, per se. You kind of came pre-prepared. You, like, said, what about this game? What about this game? What about this? I'm like, oh, man, you got some stuff you're playing, huh?
I play a lot of games. I'm on spring break, not even social isolation, quarantine stuff. I'm just on spring break.
Just a happy coincidence.
And I play a lot of games. I buy too many new things.
Hey, I got Persona 5 Royale in the mail. So that's coming soon.
I played like 50% of Persona 5, replayed 50% of Persona 5 last year, and I went, what if I wait for Persona 5 Royale? But then I went, I just played the beginning half of this game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just do it again.
I don't know.
And
all the new content is at the end,
it is,
I think.
It is.
Yeah, it is. You have to replay the whole game, I think, to get to it, too.
Like, if I can't transfer my save.
I explained it this way. They've been doing this since the jump. They did it with Persona know, 3, Persona 4. Now they're doing it.
They can. Like, but that stuff, like, you know, those were older consoles, like, and Persona 4 Golden was on the Vita, so, like, I could see why your PS2 save wouldn't go to the Vita and stuff like that, but come on, this is 2020, let us pull our saves from, like, or, like, your new game save, you know, something like that, let us pull that into Persona 5.
Or at least get some, like,
but it doesn't seem like
that's some bonus content or something, right? Like, some extra, like, oh, you get a costume.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of DLC costumes for Persona 5.
That is true. All right,
some of them are sexy.
That is also true. Okay, so Andre, you brought the first. Let's go to the first one, Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal, yeah. Has anyone here played Doom Eternal besides me?
Nope. I got four games coming up in the next 2 weeks, so.
I got Doom 2016.
Okay, you played Doom 2016. Yep. That's a start. So what if they took Doom 2016 and then they added like 10 more mechanics into it
and stressed you out, right?
I mean, I don't think it stresses me out. There are a few like bad enemy designs or like weird choices. Like every time you get to a new enemy, it pops up a tutorial screen and is like, here's how you beat this enemy, instead of letting you like experience it yourself. Like, you can turn off the tutorials, but like, you fight a boss and then it'll stop you right at the beginning of the fight. It's like, here's how you beat this boss, shoot its shield with this gun and then you blow up this thing and then you can kill it. I'm like,
that's very Nintendo. That's very Nintendo levels of hand holding. That's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't remember Doom 2016 doing that. It kind of just let you figure stuff out, but I guess they went so heavy on the mechanics in this one that they're like, there's too much here. We got to help people out. But I don't know. It's weird. I started playing... So Doom is one of the oldest first-person shooters, for those who don't know, and came back in 2016 with like a full reboot that kind of brought it back to its roots as just a fast-paced first-person shooter with lots of guns and killing demons and gore and whatnot. Doom 2016 took place entirely on Mars and ends on like this big cliffhanger.
Yep.
Doom Eternal just kind of skips the fallout of all that and just starts you in the midst of like you're on Earth and you're hunting down some like hell priests and you have no idea like context for anything. Like, who are these hell priests? How did I get back to Earth? Because you're like trapped and like imprisoned at the end of Doom 2016.
Yeah,
and they just kind of skip over all that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Samuel Hayden or Satan. Satan. Sahayden. Yeah, he like traps you and steals like the hell crucible or whatever, demonic crucible, and then he goes back to Earth with it. And you were trying to destroy that thing. And then they're just like, no, that doesn't matter. Yeah, we're going to skip ahead some amount of time, like indeterminate amount of time, and you're on Earth, and it's taken over by demons. There's hell priests. There's like this giant titanic thing that's just walking around. And then you finish that first level. Then you go to your space station that's just floating around Earth.
Wait, what?
It's like a castle or something.
Wait, you have a space station?
Yeah, so it's like this hub kind of thing where you like can go around and you've got like upgrades, so you can get like extra mods there or like, you know, power up abilities. It's got this rune system, kind of like Hollow Knight, or if you're playing Ori and the Will of the Wisp, where you can have like three runes equipped. And there's like 9 total in the game. They packed a lot in here with like the flamethrower, the rune. Were the runes in the first one? Or
I believe those were.
You get them from the challenge. Okay.
You could unlock them by doing challenges. Yep.
Okay.
Way to go, Alex! You played a game.
Mean.
So, yeah, I haven't played Doom 2016 since 2016, and I really like that. And I like this one slightly less. Like the humor isn't quite there, or. Like, there's a few very subtle moments, but it doesn't hit the same way that it does in 2016. But I think the lore, if you actually take the time to read all the lore entries, is pretty interesting and good and starts to make some of it make sense.
Do they get into the Samuel Hayden stuff, or is that just, like, happening in the background and you're just, like, not privy to it?
Sahayden is in the game, but not until about midway through. Light spoilers. Even then, they don't really like address what happened after Doom 2016. So, you know, that was a little weird. They just like, you know what? That none of that matters. It's not important. So they like on some level, what they do is funny with the lore to like flesh out Doom guy even more as like a character, but he's not like BJ Blazkowicz level of like characterization and humanity. Yeah.
He wasn't even a real character until the second game came out, Wolfenstein 2. The first, in the remake or the whatever you want to call them, the newer Colossus games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they were like, here's some story.
Hey,
like,
Getty, yeah.
I don't think we needed that.
With Jimi Hendrix. I felt for BJ.
Yeah, but he still didn't have like a backstory. No, but,
yeah, his whole backstory was I don't even remember. But yeah, I mean he was a character. Whereas Doom Guy is just like doesn't speak and just kills demons. All he wants to do is kill demons. But they try to flesh out the history of who is Doom Guy, which is like funny in the story they tell, kind of like it's. it's a really interesting lore.
So they actually give him like a backstory as like a person?
Kind of.
Not necessary, right?
Like, it doesn't give him humanity, but it, like, it tells you the origins of him, kind of.
This is all very in the middle.
When you said space station, from there on, I was like, none of this is relevant. Just let me kill demons.
Like, well, because some of, I guess, I don't remember the lore, again, I don't remember the lore from 2016, or maybe I didn't read it, but there's lots of stuff about, like, other races. And, like, the demons are a race, and then there's, like, the Argents are a race, Argent Dinur or whatever. So there are, like, three different races of people, like the humans, the demons, and the Argent, or whoever they are. And
that might have actually been a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so this game delves a lot more into that third race of, like, the makers and stuff, and it's very interesting.
Joel. You never played 2016, but I have highly encouraged it. The reason being is that they don't give the character any kind of story or backstory, but that's, like, the joke, is that people keep trying to give him story and try to tell him what's going on, and he cares. Like, he doesn't give a shit. He literally... The game starts, you wake in, and he goes, well, there's a TV screen. He goes, let me tell you what happened. So, and he literally punches the screen, grabs a gun, and just starts running. And then, like, even, like, there's robots that try to give you upgrades, and he's like, they're like, which would you like to do? And it's all nice and happy, and he literally rips his arm off, rips the robot's arms off.
Punches the robot.
Yeah, I mean, like, that kind of self-aware humor is appealing to me. The problem is the genre this game's in. Like, this whole conversation, Doom sounds interesting, Andre, but the only thing that really pulled me in was when you referenced Ori as an example for...
So, but even that's in 2016, and that's, you know, that's just like an upgrade thing, and they don't, maybe I was playing wrong, or I was only playing on normal, but like that stuff didn't feel like it super mattered.
Mm-hmm. I did hear there's platforming. Does that feel fluid, or like it fits with the gameplay, or
I think the movement is pretty good. Some people have complained about it, but I don't think there's anything to really complain about. A lot of it is to get like collectibles and stuff, but there is like some stuff to get through levels and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it works well enough. There's maybe some tuning they could do with like the swinging bars, because like they can be kind of easy to miss, but most things actually work pretty well, I think. And it's fun to like move around the level, and like the combat arenas are set up to like want you to use platforming to like get around and avoid enemies and get new tacks on where you're attacking from.
Are there slides and wall runs or things that help boost your speed as you're going along?
So you've got a dash, and you can get some momentum going. I'm not exactly sure how it works. I'm sure there are people who are like figuring that out, but you can get moving pretty quick. But there's no like wall runs, but there are like bars you can swing on, and you've got like a double air dash and a double jump.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much from
there. And then the dash is multi-directional?
Yeah, so you can just dash like freely in any direction.
Okay.
So you can like jump forward, but then dash backward or dash to the side or whatever. And then you get an upgrade. Like one of the runes allows you to have like more free movement in the air. So, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Is it substantially longer?
Than 2016? Okay. I don't think so. Because 2016 did a thing where, like, kind of halfway through, you go through the levels kind of in reverse after, like, the base has been destroyed and you've got, like, hell levels and stuff. And it's all, like, continuous, whereas this one has got, like, the hub stuff in the space station. Like the levels feel pretty long. Like it felt like about an hour per level, maybe, maybe longer, maybe not quite, depending on, difficulty and how well you do and whatnot. But I felt like it was a decent length. But maybe some of the fights were a little tedious. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's, I think it's worth checking out if you really like Doom 2016, but I don't think it's like a game people need to run out and play.
Okay. But you're happy you played it?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to complain. I got it like for cheap-ish, like $50, $48 on like Green Man Gaming.
Okay,
so
very nice.
I can't complain.
Now you also got a VR headset.
I did buy an Oculus Rift S.
Was this as a treat yourself kind of thing, or was it a spring break type of thing?
This was a little bit of both. This was my vacation to Tokyo got canceled, so I want to treat myself. If I had gone to Tokyo, I wouldn't have bought this, but and I live in Japan, so it's like Tokyo's not like a faraway place, but because of the COVID-19 stuff, I decided, you know what? Let's not go. And a lot of the stuff we were going to do was getting shut down anyway, so made sense to not go. Airbnb is still fucking me.
We'll see. Damn.
That's brutal. Okay, so yeah. with your VR headset, yep. You were telling me you were playing Half-Life Alyx.
Beat Saber. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, Half-Life
Beat
Alyx.
Saber.
Yeah.
Wait, but if you want to talk about Beat Saber, we can talk about that instead.
Yeah. I mean, hey, custom songs and Beat Saber, that's a game changer right there.
Oh, snap.
But,
right?
Anyway, yeah, I mainly picked it up for Half-Life Alyx. There are some other VR games I want to play, like, is it Wrath of Asgard or Asgard's Wrath? But for now, Half-Life Alyx is the main thing.
You picked the one that matters, so tell us about it.
Yeah, for now. Y'all played Half-Life?
I was the only one.
I am currently playing Black Mesa because I've never played them.
Barely counts.
Specifically Half-Life 2, because that's where this character comes from. Alyx Vance, daughter of Eli Vance. And this game takes place between Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2, in the time when Gordon Freeman is, spoilers, MIA. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows where he is. And so it takes place in City 17 after the Combine have like taken over the city. And you're just part of the resistance group. And it opens with you doing reconnaissance. Mm-hmm. And reconnaissance just means you're standing on a rooftop looking out over City 17 and seeing the Citadel and, like, stuff like Combine ships flying overhead. This game looks good as hell for a VR game. Because when I think VR, I think, like, weird, like, stylized.
Almost like cel-shaded?
But maybe not necessarily cel-shaded, but just, like, more... like cartoony and like, you know, just to like kind of, you know, be easier on, be more stylized to be more easier on like graphics stuff. I haven't played a ton of VR stuff. I have a PSVR, but that didn't get a ton of use. And so I've been really impressed by how Half-Life Alyx looks, not to mention like the fidelity with which you can grab things from the world and like draw on like windows with like dry erase markers, first area. I was like, huh? And like, you know, pick a bottle up and smash it on a table. I'm just like, dude, they thought of everything. Cause that's how it feels when I'm going to this game. You know, I can write fuck the police on a window as I go through. That was one of the first things I did. I realized I could write on a window because there's like a scene at the very beginning where the Combiner kind of rush, like raiding the streets, and you're in a building, like in like a basement kind of, and you can see outside. So I wrote fuck the police as the Combine ran by.
Question.
Yes.
How early on do they tell you to pick up a can?
They never told me to pick up a can. Actually, the beginning is just like, okay, here's how you walk around. And like, I kind of figured out how to pick stuff up because it's the Oculus Touch controllers and you just have like two triggers. It's actually a very simple game to control because it's basically just, I'm using the teleport movement. You can do, like smooth movement if you like, or like you can do like a continuous movement, or you can do like a smooth teleport where instead of teleporting you, it moves you there kind of like on a track. I think that would give me motion sickness if I tried that. And then there's like quick turn, and then you've got like a few buttons to like open menus or like for when you're reloading weapons to like empty your clip. Mostly you're grabbing stuff and interacting with it that way.
Does it get to a point where it gets too complicated to remember which buttons do what? Or?
Absolutely not. Okay. No, absolutely not. Cause, basically you, so far I'm a few hours in, I've got like two weapons and a multi-tool or like my, and then I've got like a few items that it's kind of embarrassing. You can put items in like wrist pockets. Now you've got two wrist pockets. For the longest time, I thought I only had one wrist pocket. So I've been carrying around extra items in my left hand.
Man, that cannot be good for your posture.
Yeah. So I've been like, yeah. So I've been like, oh, I've got this like health thing. I'm going to carry it around in my left hand in case I find a health station. I'm carrying it around through like a whole level or two until I find a health thing. And then that health station has like a, the thing in it. I'm like, God damn it. And like you can pick stuff, put stuff down and pick it back up. But I think the coolest thing about items in this world is you get these gloves called, I think they're called the Russells because the guy who made them is named Russell. And you point at stuff with your controller and then you kind of flick it. Like you push the trigger and then you flick it and then it pulls towards you with like a force power. And then you can catch it out of midair if you grab it. Like you still have to like actually push a button to grab it. But it feels so cool to just be like pulling stuff from across the room and catching it out of midair.
So they're finding ways then, to like make you not have to move, it sounds like, almost.
I mean, you can move, and like I think the game is best if you are able to move around in space. Like I've got a pretty decent area where I can move around in and like look around corners and like duck behind stuff. But like you're also able to like, if something's far away, you can pull it over to you so you don't have to move all the way over into a corner or whatever. Or like if it's your space is too small or like you've got a confined area where you're worried about like running into a wall or a table or something, then yeah, that's useful. And what it's really cool for is if you're like in a gunfight and you run out of ammo, instead of like reaching behind you to pull out a magazine, if there's like a magazine on the ground, you could pull it to you, grab it, shove it in your gun, and then cock back the gun, and then you're ready to go. So it's just all this really fluid movement stuff with like putting weapons in and dropping mags and stuff. It feels really cool.
Okay. So yeah, they make you feel like an action hero.
Yeah. And like it's got iron sights on all the guns. So like there's no auto aim. So you are like having to put the controller up close to your face and like actually aim at these head crabs that are coming at you. And I got like a red dot sight that will highlight like vulnerable points or like enemies that are alive. But so I can see like, okay, I can see them, but I can't get the dot on them. And so it's very stressful at times, especially as you've got like multiple enemies coming up and I'm like, I got to move backwards, but also I'm like, I don't want to trip over my cable, but also like it's dark and I've got this flashlight on my hand, but if I'm not pointing my hand at them, I can't see them. And oh my God. So it's not like, I wouldn't say it's super scary, but it does have like elements of tension at times.
So no church scene from Half-Life 2?
I've been in some real dark sewers.
Okay.
So, and you know, lots of head crabs, but I think the thing is like, I've played Half-Life. I've head crabs are a known quantity at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
what are you talking
still,
about, Alex? Like, get out of here.
It's still not great to have them jumping at your face. Like, they're creepy. And like with the visual fidelity of this game, it's, you know, they're gross. And like, there's a lot of gross stuff in Half-Life, but they're not like, I wouldn't say I'm like terrified. I'm just like grossed out more than anything.
So I only have one question, Andre.
Yes.
Have you seen the gravity gun?
I am the gravity gun.
But do you think you'll...
With these gloves.
Get it.
No, because wasn't the gravity gun made by Eli Vance, like, right before... I guess they made it, like...
It was questionable.
They were used to it. Yeah, so I don't think so. I think the Russells are kind of the precursor to the gravity gun.
Okay.
Because it's the same principle, but on a much smaller scale. Like pulling stuff in and whatnot, because that's how they build, is like, oh, you're using like, you're manipulating gravity and like force and stuff to pull stuff to you, but you can't like repel anything. Also, the throwing stuff is really good. Like, it's really hard to throw stuff in VR usually, but they figured out how to tune it really well. So like the last thing I did, or the last time I played, was like I had to throw a grenade into a vent, and I just did it first try, and it felt really cool.
Also, it just it seems like gloves are more advanced than having a gun, a gravity gun for it, which is like, that's where I'm kind of like, man, that's weird that they gave you, it's almost like the episode one Star Wars problem where the technology seems more advanced than it was like the precursors that came later in the timeline.
Yeah. But I think there's like a power thing to be considered with like the gloves, because they're very delicate. Like they talk about how they're very delicate.
If you would
grab this guy, they would have crushed the sensitive electronics on the gloves. And okay. So I think, like, you know, if you've got the gravity gun is much more powerful. Like, you're not holding things and, like, repelling them out with, like, you know, you're not throwing saw blades with this thing. You're just, like, I'm picking up small items and pulling them to me.
The gloves are a Swiss Army knife. The gun is, well, a gun.
Okay. That's,
I have a question though. This game is from what I'm told substantially long, right?
Could be, yes. I hear like 15 hours.
How does it feel to be in VR for those long stretches?
With Half-Life Alyx, I haven't minded it. I haven't done any like crazy long sessions.
But what's your normal?
I have been enjoying my time. Maybe like an hour to 2 hours.
Okay.
And as I've figured out, like, I just got my Rift S, so I'm still, like, figuring out what's comfortable and how to, like, get it focused for me. I'm bad at getting it in focus, but I've not had any major issues. The first time I played, like, I had a little, like, strain on the back of my head, but then I was able to fix that by just getting it on more properly. But I haven't felt, like, sick. I haven't felt, like, any strain.
It's more about how do you feel comfortable, like, exiting the world for that long?
Yeah. When I've done it, it's been like when I've been home alone, girlfriend out doing errands or the job interviews and whatnot. So I've not like had any issues where I'm like, oh, I need to be paying attention to somebody else or like paying mind. So it's not been an issue so far. I try to avoid going in while the girlfriend's home just so we can be more in contact. But
I like how you call it going in.
He's taking a dive.
Jack in, right?
No, it's full dive. Come on,
got a jack in to jack off.
Where's Jack in from? Was
Matrix?
It okay? Was Matrix okay?
Yeah, they were jacking in.
Please stop saying jacking in.
There probably wasn't much else to do on that ship.
No, not much else to do.
It's got the lady in the red dress.
Designed it myself. Weird. Okay, so Half-Life Alyx, though, you're feeling pretty good on. Do you feel like it's advanced enough? Do you think it's also like a good demonstration to people, like, this is what VR can do?
You can write fuck the police on a window first thing, so yeah, why not? I think it's very cool. Maybe not the first thing, like, it depends on like how experienced they are with, I guess, video games in general, but like, I think it's a very cool use of the technology. It's very advanced and it feels more than just like a shooting gallery, because I'm going around, I'm solving puzzles, I'm like exploring and like finding stuff. But again, I haven't played a ton of VR games, but from the impression I get, a lot of them are just like shooting gallery type stuff.
Okay, that was Half-Life Alyx.
So yeah, if you have a VR headset, check it out.
Trust me, I'm consistently like, we should maybe look into VR to the wife every once in a while. So, I'm pushing for it. Getty, what about you? Are you going to get VR?
Maybe.
Do you have a room for you? Oh, your office. Your office would work. Yeah.
My office? What are you talking about? It's like a 3x3. I'm literally next to the dryer. I had to turn it off before we started
recording.
The extra
bedroom?
No, that's filled with stuff, man.
Yeah.
I need a place for my toys.
That is true. Now, something that we all did play, not Joel.
Wait, I didn't play it.
Not Katie either. That's something I played. Resident Evil 3, the demo.
But before we start I want to just interject and let the audience know that I have been playing Animal Crossing this week, as well as Ori and Will of the Wisps, Landrisser 1 and 2, Snakey Bus, and it was an decision at the top that none of those were chosen to talk about this week. So the next time somebody just gives me crap for not playing something, just keep that in the back pocket.
All right, Animal Crossing.
One of those qualifies for early adopters.
And Animal Crossing is
pretty good. Ori should count, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah? No?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't run your podcast. But two of those, I think, are old games.
Neither does Alex.
Well, it got re-released as a collection.
How did this erupted into anarchy?
Oh, I love it.
I told you, this podcast needs new leadership.
Resident Evil 3 demo.
Vote for Joel.
2020.
Andre, what did you think of the Resident Evil 3 demo?
I liked it. Resident Evil 2 Remake was my game of the year last year. So I was really excited. I've been waiting for this game basically since February 2020 or 2019. And they finally announced it. I was like, oh, yeah. And I think the demo didn't disappoint me.
It did disappoint you?
It did disappoint. No, it didn't disappoint me. Did
no,
it disappoint
no,
you?
No, absolutely not. Getty asked me, he was like, oh, did you see all the hidden dolls that are around? I go, no, I was too busy pooping myself.
There's 20 hidden dolls in that, like, 20-minute demo.
Now, guys, don't spoil it too much. I have already paid off the game, and as long as GameStop lets me pick it up from this quarantine, I'm going to be there pounding on the door to get it next week.
Next week? Yeah, Friday next week.
You're going to be so mad when GameStop shuts down, and then you're like no!
Alex, I literally have 3 games paid off. They better not. Like, I got Persona, I got Resident Evil, and then Final Fantasy. So, give me a break, man.
I don't think there's a lot to, like, spoil from this demo. I think it's, like, a modified version of what the experience will actually be, like, item placement and stuff. Because I think they've shown this part in, like, videos, but things were in different places. So it's like depending on how fast you are, it's like a 30 to 10 minute experience, from like the middle-ish of the game, early middle-ish probably. And you're like trying to get the subway car going. If you know about Resident Evil 3, you might know where that takes place from, in the game. And you've got like Carlos and that other guy there. So you're, as opposed to Resident Evil 2, you're kind of running around in the streets of Raccoon City instead of, like, in the police station or the sewers. And it feels like, even though it's still, like, condensed and, like, where you can go is limited, I feel like it does feel much more open compared to Resident Evil 2, where you're in the, like, indoors most of the time.
They had, I want to say I went through, like, 6 different doorways. Just like, oh, I'm going to go into this shop. Oh, I'm going to go into this restaurant. I'm going to go into this, like, pharmacy. And it just kept giving me new places to explore.
Yeah. Like, you're constantly going in and out of buildings and, like, running up and finding, like, oh, here's a ladder that's, like, a shortcut down to the first area and stuff like that, which is nice.
The one thing is that I completely forgot about the map system in RE2. So when I played this, I actually got stuck and was just kind of going in circles for a while, and I was like, well, this is frustrating. And then I pull up my map and I'm like, oh, duh, it's the thing where they, like, here's all the items in the area, look harder, you idiot.
Yeah. That's wow. I didn't have any issues with that. Like, I thought it was all pretty good. And I think the important thing to take away is there are some, like, key differences between Resident Evil 3 the remake and Resident Evil 2 remake. Because it would have been very easy for them to just go, okay, here's the exact same mechanics, it's just in a different setting. But they actually took, like, some of the Resident Evil 3 stuff, like the dodge mechanic, you know, where you can dodge to the side, the left, back, front, all that stuff. And, like, if you get a perfect dodge, at least against Nemesis, who is in the demo, you can get, like, a slowdown time thing, and then that'll let you, you know, get some shots off, which is kind of neat. I wasn't able to do it because I'm a baddie, but it is in there. So eventually, I think that'll become very important.
I can confirm that because I didn't know about that, but it happened. But it definitely happened to me, and I was like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." It slowed down, and I just kept going.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it might just be the demo. I hope it's just the demo. Nemesis is busted as hell. He's so broken. He can stun lock you.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, he definitely, I think he killed me once where he just kind of like got me trapped in a corner.
Yeah, like, so I played on PS4 and then I played again on PS3 or PC a few times because I'm going to play the full game on PC. And like when you meet him, you walk out of this door and then he's like in the courtyard doing something, some grossness to another zombie. And then he just ran at me and, like, punched me and knocked me down. I was like, ah, he's too fast. And then he killed me. And I was like, I didn't even get to stand up. What the fuck?
No, so I dodged. That was where I got the slow-mo dodge. But then I got to a new area, and he, like, anime slid through it.
Yes. Yes, he jumps from, like, the rooftops and then slides down a wall. It's going to be... I think that makes him much more terrifying than Mr. X from Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, no, get it. He literally posed in, like, one area sliding across the screen, just like, oh, here I am. It's like, what?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely makes him way more terrifying than Mr. I'm going to slowly walk through this hallway at you. Yeah.
Like, I played Resident Evil 2, the remake, so many times. Like, I was, like, doing a little bit of speed running on it. Like, I was never, like, super good.
Trying to get that carbon footprint achievement.
Yeah, I mean, I got the platinum on PS4, so I got nice. Everything. And I got my, like, time. I think I got down under an hour. But, like, eventually you realize, like, how Mr. X works and how to avoid him and manipulate him. And he just doesn't become a threat or scary at all. But I think that because of the way that Nemesis can kind of jump in and out from wherever he pleases, it'll be a much more interesting game to replay. But, like, there was some scuttlebutt. Like, someone reported, like, oh, Nemesis can come into safe rooms. But no. That's not actually true. There are some spaces where he cannot enter.
Yeah, I saw that, like, too.
Like, story puzzle areas he can't enter, but there are some some safe spaces he can enter, but that was the same in Resident Evil 2, so.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh.
Me too. Yep.
So, that was Resident Evil 3 demo. Thank you, Andre. Now I feel no need to purchase any of these games until they are $20. That is legitimate because I bought Doom Eternal for $20, and I bought Resident Evil 2 for
what?
$20.
And oh, you mean Doom 2016 for $20.
I wrote that as a joke, but thank you,
yep,
Alex.
No problem. Now let's Doom Slay into the break.
Hey, news. You know you can't spell quarantine without the letters U-R-A-Q-T. Snap. Tell me that wasn't fly.
I like that you get, like, all up on the mic. Also, you texted that to me, and I said, yeah, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
I'm gonna say that wasn't fly because you said snap. Tell me that wasn't fly. You ruined it.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, if someone came on to me and was like, snap, tell me that wasn't fly, but get out of here. What are you doing? News, don't listen to this guy.
Oh, no.
Let me buy you a drink.
Okay. So, first piece of news. I'm actually going to go through all of the non-Nintendo news, and I'm going to let Joel lead the Nintendo news.
Thanks.
But first, God of War had the label only on PlayStation removed. So it's rumored that it's coming to PC. People be mad.
Why?
People be baby.
Yeah. Look, I'd be excited if I didn't have a PlayStation. I'd be able to play this
game.
Well,
those aren't the people who are mad.
You should have seen when they had Horizon Zero Dawn announced for PC. There was videos of people smashing their PlayStations.
Oh, yeah. No, what? I thought that guy smashed his computer monitor. Mm.
No, I think he smashed his monitor in his rage. He was, like, throwing his, like, PlayStation around.
No, he smashed that entire room.
Whatever will keep the Nerd Rage videos flowing, I'm for.
Really? Yeah,
that's entertaining.
It's, you know what? Vote for Bernie Sanders so that guy can get some therapy.
You know, that's not wrong. Okay.
Sorry to bring politics into it, but goddamn, that's what these people need, therapy.
That's okay.
That's true.
All right, so next, Playdead Studios, creators of Limbo and Inside, are teasing a new game, which
sex doll company are they partnering with for this one?
I don't know, but I think they mentioned Joel and Kelly's Twitch stream as reason for their new game. That's not true. That's not true at all.
Well, it was what was it? Real Girl that made that
Real Doll.
Real Doll. Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm just showing my bona fides of not knowing adult fan companies.
Just a quick aside, you guys ever hear the story about the guy with the real doll at in Chicago at the Link Brookfield Zoo?
Do we have to hear it?
What?
No. And yes, can we pass?
Fine.
I'm holding X to pass this cutscene.
Fine. Nothing dirty.
How do I? But that okay. I would have listened, but I guess I've been overruled.
Nope.
I don't know. I think the desk gets to call it.
You can tell me in the next break.
There is a man who has a real doll dressed nice in a wheelchair, and he goes to the zoo a lot.
Are you still telling this?
Andre called it. And there are photos, if you Google the man at Brookfield Zoo with a real doll, he says it's his wife. And it's a very wholesome thing. There's nothing weird about it.
Does it have a ring?
I think so. I have to relook at the photos, because, again, you Google image it and you see him. He's just pushing her different outfits. He just has a day at the zoo. It's nice.
Okay. So that's
good for him.
That's what they base
your local zoo.
That's what they based that twee indie movie off of, huh?
Kind of. Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I like to think.
We brought a real doll to the zoo. That
Joel, are you ready for some more Play Dead games?
No.
No? No more Limbo or Inside?
I liked Limbo. I liked Inside. I am not looking for something that much of a bummer. No, thank you. Not right now.
I hope they... What is the teaser?
Just images of backgrounds.
Oh, okay. I hope it's not just another, like, indie 2D platformer thing. Like, they make... Well, Inside was a good one of those. I don't really like Limbo, playing Limbo. But I hope they kind of do something else and stretch their legs a bit and try like a different approach to games.
A roguelite top-down survival game.
Hey,
we need more of those.
It's not my favorite, but like, I would just like to see them. I would like to see them try something besides.
We're talking about
just
Bastion later, dude. Calm down.
Side scroller. Speaking of Play Dead,
next piece of news, Epic Games is launching a publishing label, announced with them Play Dead, Remedy, and Gen Design, who did Last Guardian.
So, yeah, that's, I put this news story on here because I saw it this morning when I woke up. It's an interesting move they're making. So the details, developers retain 100% of all the intellectual property rights. That's good.
Yeah.
Epic is going to cover 100% of development costs, from developer salaries to market expenses, and QA.
Really?
Like QA, localization, marketing, and all publishing costs.
Okay, what's the catch?
Developers earn a fair share for their work. Once costs are recouped, developers earn at least 50% of all their profits.
Okay, that's a deal breaker. I'm out.
So what I've seen going around from people like Rami Ismail is that's actually a pretty sweet deal. Like, they get to recoup all of the costs, or I guess once the game is broken even, which I guess Epic will get the money for that, but all the devs have been paid up until then, so that's good. And then after that, it's at least 50%, so I don't know how they're going to decide what the...
isn't the normal cuts closer to, like, 30%?
That's for selling the game
on...
That's not a publishing deal. That's for, like, Valve's cut when people buy.
But there's Steam. You're saying there's a cost share in development between Epic and the developer?
Yeah, so Epic is going to fund all of the development and marketing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they have made back that money, at least 50% of all the profits will go to the developer.
That is very friendly to a small outfit like most indie developers are.
And look at the games that were, or at least the games that these studios have put out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you actually be disappointed with it? That's nice.
Yeah, so it at least gives a lot of stability to developers. It'll be interesting to see if people keep... Like, if developers keep flocking to this in, like, a few years. Right now, Remedy has announced, like, two games, I think, that are part of this. Playdead's next game is obviously going to be part of this. And then in, like, 12 years, when Gen Design puts out a new game, we'll finally see. That Fortnite money is dried up, and then we'll get The Last Guardian 2.
Maybe they'll be able to do something else sooner than that.
Those guys tend to take a long time with their games, man.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe this will sweeten the pot for them.
I think Gen Design didn't actually make The Last Guardian, but Fumito Ueda is the director of it, and he is the head of Gen Design, so it's like got that pedigree behind it, but it's not actually that studio, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but it does have that history. Yeah, I don't know.
That was good. Now, Joel, they snuck a Direct on us.
Yeah, so there's a Nintendo Direct Mini sort of surprise release today.
Only a surprise if you're not in the know.
Or if you're one of those people on Twitter who just go,
excuse me.
Follow Jeff Grubb, and he's got all the hot takes. He's been saying for like a week, Nintendo Direct on the 26th, and everyone's like, they didn't announce it on Thursday or on Wednesday. It's not going to happen. And then it happened.
I almost kind of feel like everybody's been suggesting a Nintendo Direct is going to be imminent, like every week of this year so far. So I sort of just...
Even a broke clock can be right twice a day.
Anyway, I don't think it's prudent to try to go down this whole list, but I would be interested to know
let's play a game. You start naming games, I'll say pass or go.
Hold on, real quick. I just want to say that this gave me real big, like, April Fool's vibes, where they have that one fake Direct where they used to go, everything's coming to Switch. Every Zelda game. just kept going and going and going.
That was a good April Fool's joke.
All right,
I think
that was
my favorite one. What? Really?
Yeah, let's just do this. It'll be fun.
All right, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition coming out May 29th.
Go.
Pass.
Pass. I mean, it's cool that it got an epilogue added to it, but I bought this on my Wii U, like, years ago and haven't touched it yet.
You and, like, four people.
All right, so great.
Wii U. Pass. So,
most people did, Andre. 2K series coming to Switch, Bioshock Collection,
pass.
Borderlands Handsome Collection, pass. XCOM 2 Collection. I don't personally have an interest in any of these from
Triple
Switch.
Pass.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order DLC.
Pass.
Yep. Fantastic Four, pass on that.
I didn't get the original.
You're the reason why they're going away, Getty.
Yeah, thank you. They're terrible.
They're a joke.
Keep going.
Shinsekai Into the Depths, which is a deep-sea side-scrolling exploration game. Looked like it might have some sort of survival elements to it.
Mm.
Or exploration.
Song of the Deep 2. Pass.
Yep. Song of the Deep, by the way.
I'm curious about it, but if I didn't find an alternate for cheaper, I probably would. Animal Crossing New Horizons free update, Bunny Day Visitors, and Hidden Egg Activities.
I don't know what you just said, but okay.
All in.
Pass.
How dare you. Good Job, which is a silly-looking work puzzle sim, launched today.
I am looking to buy this now.
I might.
Are you buying it now?
I just bought Persona 5. I may have to wait.
That's not a no.
I might get this game.
It looks silly. We need some silly right now.
All right, Switch engage.
Catherine Full Body, July 7th.
Yes, please.
Pass. And here's why.
Nope.
Catherine.
Ignore him and move on
Catherine
to the next one.
Catherine came out, the remake of Catherine, not Full Body, but the remake of Catherine, re-release, came out on PS4 and ran terribly. I assume Full Body runs better, but I can't imagine it runs great on Switch. Pass.
Pass because there's some weird transphobia with that game. Fair.
I've heard a lot of Atlus games have problems with representation one way or another.
Persona, the localized version of Persona 5 Royale has supposedly fixed or at least addressed some of the criticisms of like the homophobia in that game, which is good, but not in the Japanese version. So Atlus has a lot of those issues, yes.
I would say pass on Catherine. It's just not my jam. Free Ring Fit Adventure update with a music rhythm game mode. I am glad they're doing this. It'll continue to collect dust in my home.
Well, you could sell that for quite a bit of money.
I probably should.
No, yeah, I sent him a link where it's like on Amazon, they're like, $500 or something like that. No, I'm pro this. I want to play this, and I probably will soon.
I will not play it, but hey, good for them.
All right, King's Bounty 2, some sort of Western RPG with a sort of grid-based movement systems. They describe the graphics as more realistic, which I got a good laugh out of.
I think the original came out in, like, the 90s.
It looks to be in 1990, actually.
Still the 90s.
No, I'm saying you're right. I'm very much saying you're right.
That's 40 years. Oh, my God. No, 30 years. That's how numbers
work. Yeah, it's a forerunner of Heroes of Might and Magic, which is old by me. So this is before that.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
I barely remember Heroes of Might and Magic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
anyway, okay. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. The next character is going to be from ARMS. They're non-committal about which ARMS character it'll be.
I'll pass on that.
Because it doesn't matter which one it'll be, and they'll just all be skins.
I just think this is a great pick.
I mean,
I'm surprised they put another Fire Emblem character in before they put in ARMS. ARMS character, just because there are so many. We don't need to rehash the whole Fire Emblem debate, but with, like, the distance between Fire Emblem Three Houses and Byleth's release in Smash, I feel like that would have been better for an ARMS character, and then start this pack with Byleth.
They wanted to coincide it with the DLC that came out, and that's, I'm agreeing with you still.
Maybe, yeah.
Guys, what if they gave the ARMS character a sword?
Joel, go home.
I am home. I hope you're all at home, too.
Go home right now.
Will ARMS have legs?
Boo.
That's good.
Said no one's made that joke before. Definitely not.
Bravely Default 2. Available 2020, non-committal to a date, with a demo out now.
I'm excited to play the demo. I'm playing Bravely Default right now, and I can tell you right now they went through all of the different mechanics of Bravely Default in the commercial for this, in the direct. And I thought it was funny because I'm like, oh, they're just reteaching us Bravely Default. Everything is the same.
How messed up is it that they made a game called Bravely Second, and that's not the sequel Bravely Default 2 is?
Yeah. Make a lick of sense.
This is, like, one of the only games, this and, like, Good Job are the only things that even made me remotely interested in this direct. And even then, I have been kind of down on JRPGs recently. So I'm not even sure if I want to play it. The survey thing is interesting. They did that with, the Octopath Traveler.
Yes.
And that game kind of left me cold. I beat four of the stories and I went, okay, I'm done.
Side question.
I don't know.
If they added the Doom guy, he now has a sword.
Are we going back to Smash Brothers? Thriller.
Would he have the sword in his Smash Brothers? Would he just be another sword character?
No, he'd be melee, and then no, he would summon a sword.
He'd be like a mid-range with, like, the guns and stuff, and then he'd have, like, a sword for a smash attack, and then maybe his, like, down B would be, like, the flamethrower. Side B would be, like, a grenade. Maybe he could do, like, an ice grenade.
You know, Smash Brothers has done a really good job of honoring the origins and past of the series when they bring new characters. I think if they put Doom Guy in there, it would just be the profile from the original Doom, and then as you get hit, you get bloodied up and messed up looking until you're knocked out.
That'd be pretty funny. Then Super Smash would be the BFG 9000.
Makes sense. Obviously.
Yes.
Getty, you go on Bravely Default 2?
Are you asking me to try the demo?
No, I'm asking, are you pumped on this?
I haven't played the first one. I feel non-committal to the second one.
They look completely unrelated. I mean, the mechanics look the same, but the characters are completely different.
But I still want to play it.
That's fine. I'll let you borrow it once I'm done.
It sounds like Des hasn't changed his mind.
Next, Joel.
No, he's trying real hard.
Clubhouse Games, which is, it's like those, like, 20-in-1 tabletop board game collections, except for video games.
Here comes the shovelware.
This is where I said it seems like that one April Fool's Direct, because it's like, it's got chess, checkers, Chinese checkers, Mancala, and it just keeps going and going and going. By the way, I own several of those 20-in-1 games, never play them, gonna buy this.
It's like those shareware 501 Dame collections that'd be on CDs that they'd send out to people.
Man, it's $40.
It would always have a copy of Snood on it. I'm a little disappointed there's no Snood in Clubhouse Games. Seems like an odd omission to make, but
hey, they got 51 games. What are they gonna do? Put in 52? Come on.
But it's $40.
Man. All right.
I mean, that's
less than a dollar per game.
That's quite
bucks.
The value.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Okay.
You're not buying it anyway. Why does it matter?
I might.
He's totally buying it.
My wife loves board games. This is it.
It's in his cart.
You guys have a room full of board games. Why
he's going to the
buy
checkout
them digitally?
Okay.
He just got the Nintendo Gold Coin credits.
I did. It's a lot of credits, man. $40 worth.
Ninjala, a 8-player competitive multiplayer free-to-play game?
200.
Is that a question?
I thought this was a battle royale when I first saw it, because I was just skipping through this direct, because I was like, boring, nope, not interested, it's another port, okay, great. And I saw this, I was like, oh, is this like a battle royale? No.
They said the words battle royale, though.
I think
they did.
Yeah.
8-player.
To be fair, they had that one. There's a phone mobile game that's like a battle royale, but it's like you and like 6 people.
The fact that we're not actually talking about this game tells me what the answer is for this. Jedi Academy coming to Switch March 26th, which is today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Star Wars Episode 1 Racer. Fun novelty. No thanks.
There is a specific subset of people that will be for. That subset is not me.
Yes. Same.
Getty, you going to get this one?
Buying it now.
Okay.
Wait, I thought you were saying before we started that game was bad.
Oh, no, I was talking about Jedi Academy. I don't care about pod racers.
Okay.
F that.
Panzer Dragoon is out now.
I want that to drop bucks. $5 more and then I'm in. I have a big fun this one.
What if instead of Panzer Dragoon, they did Legend of Dragoon?
Yes, Andre, thank you.
It was a fine RPG. It just...
Oh, get out of here, Alex. That's why I'm endorsing Joel.
Better... I'm going to write in Bert Simpson for this election. It's better than Panzer Dragoon.
I like Panzer Dragoon. I like... Ooh. Was it Saturn? It was Saturn. Yeah. Okay.
I think that constitutes being called a hot take. That's pretty spicy.
What?
Saying that Legend of Dragoon is better than Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, kinda.
No, I agree
with
that.
Get out your internet pitchforks and come at me. I can take it.
Fight me, bro. anyway, then there was like a sizzle reel of a whole bunch of stuff. Not too much stuck out at me other than The Legend of Heroes 3, Trails of Cold Steel 3. That's only because I listen to the Damien Fix podcast and hear you guys talk about it. And
I try to stop it, but it keeps. He's always like, "Oh, I'll just talk about it for a minute," and it's 20 minutes later. Liar.
And Burnout Paradise Remastered was interesting, if just because you don't see much EA stuff on Switch or Nintendo stuff, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's another way. It's a way to get Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne on your Switch, so maybe that makes it worth it.
Makes sense to me. You got Saints Row 4 out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit of 3.
Oh, man, those games are good.
Yeah. And I keep saying that
too. At least they were. I don't know if they're still good, but I had fun with them when they came out.
I like them as just goofy sandbox games. They're much more comical than your regular GTA, so.
I don't like GTA, but I think Saints Row 4, especially because of the like all the powers and stuff and just like running around. You could probably.
Where they're like, oh, by the way, aliens took over the world. Now you're in a simulation. Have fun. Yeah.
It's very good.
And then ended out with the Pokemon Sword and Shield expansion pack. Getty, did this get you excited?
You know I don't have time to watch these directs.
You don't have time for anything.
No, I really don't. I worked like 12 hours today. I'm super stressed out, okay?
I watched this 28-minute direct, or however long it was, in like 10 minutes, because it was like 13 ports and 4 new-ish games.
Accurate.
And and then like some DLC for games I don't play or care about. And yeah, I fell off Pokemon Sword and Shield after the final battle. I didn't end up doing like the post game stuff, which there's like a lot of post game stuff, but I just wasn't engaged with. So this didn't really move the needle for me either.
I finished it. I have a lot of shame
about that, or something else. Just
in real life. Come on, we haven't gotten to the backlog blog where I'm going to express the rest of my shame.
Fair.
Okay.
Hmm.
So now it is time to social distance ourselves from the news. Let's get a break. 6 feet, Getty. Leave room for Jesus. And let's leave the news alone.
Jesus, put on the pad.
And we're back with the backlog blog, where Getty does not rate
yes
supreme.
Yes, I do. Both of these games are for me. One of them's kind of Andre. So
also one of those games, it's because me and Joel have already played it, but that's fine. Alright.
How long ago did you play Bastion?
Well, I rewatched some videos of it just to catch up.
The videos.
I never played Bastion.
Oh, really?
Never.
Oh,
man, you suck.
You're just.
It's got a good ass soundtrack.
Yeah, it's real good.
Okay, hold on. What first? Joel, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go on.
What do you say, Joel? You want to give him like what, 5 minutes on Destiny?
Oh, you're gonna have to cut Andre on Destiny.
I've already looked at the runtime. I think 5 is about the upper limit for me.
Hit me with some Destiny 2, guys.
Season of the Worthy.
Have you played any of the season?
Yeah, I've been hanging out in some bunkers, you know, playing some shooty robots, whatever we're calling
it. How do you feel about it?
I mostly stick to Gambit and Crucible now, so the new content actually feels a little bit fresher, except I feel like some of the people who I kept trying to do the publics of events with did not know what was going on. It was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, so this season, the like Season of the Worthy, the new like main thing are Seraph Towers, which is like a public event where everyone just kind of shows up at this one point, and then you throw balls at orbs. And you throw orbs at more orbs, and then
to move them across the map,
like 6 minutes, and then you kill some enemies. And I think this season is bad. It's bumming me out
because
I thought Season of Dawn was really good.
Dawn was really good with the story.
There's like, yeah, the story stuff was really interesting, the characters, and now it's just a bunch of like bounties nonstop, and like no story missions so far, really. And that's been a big bummer and disappointing because I was playing Destiny like nonstop for basically since Shadowkeep came out, but since like November probably. Mm-hmm. And I just can't get the motivation to play now because there's like, I don't think the season is fun.
Yeah. No, I've had some problems with my fire team just not being there. One of the guys is always traveling. The other one, he's been doing other stuff, so namely Borderlands 3 and now Division 2. So whenever I do get a chance, I try and jump into the Crucible and try and finally get my Dredgen title in Gambit.
But there's not even like anything to chase in Gambit this season. Like, you can chase titles and stuff, but the only title or the only like weapon is for the Iron Banner.
Is it the Four Horsemen? Is that what they're plugging right now?
No. Well, so that you can do a quest for that, but there's just, like, in Iron Banner, they have, like, the ritual weapon, and it's just doing the quest gets you the thing, so it's not even, like, a special thing, just everyone will get it, so there's chase type.
They took out the pinnacle weapons, and that really upset me, because those were a lot of fun to try and grind out.
Well, yeah, so they replace pinnacle weapons with the ritual weapons, and usually that'd be just, like, get a lot of kills in, like, in strikes, but now the season, it's literally just part of the Iron Banner quest. And it's the only ritual weapon, so, you know.
Can I ask a dummy question here real quick?
Shoot.
Oh, yeah.
what constitutes a season in Destiny 2? Like, what's the baseline expectation for you?
It's 3 months, like 90 days. So I didn't play Forsaken when it came out, and that had, like, 3 or 4 seasons. Mm-hmm. But, like, based on the previous 2 seasons, usually there's, like, a bunch of new armor, a seasonal activity, which is... has previously been, like, a separate, like, thing you load into. And here, like, compared to this season, it's mostly just walk out into, like, the main world and do this public event, which is, like, there's no new map, really. They, like, remixed some lost sectors to make them harder, but it's not really... it's not fun, I don't think. So, and, like, there's usually, like, some new armor and weapons, and... I don't think the armor is good this season.
No.
And I'm just not... I'm not even getting good, like, rolls on it.
General consensus. It hasn't been actually very good, but I do really still err back to killing people, like actual people. Making kids cry and trying to get me banned from gameplay, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah. I'm just not a big fan of multiplayer, but... yeah, Destiny is... this is the weakest it's been since I came back to it, probably.
Oh, well, there's actually been some fun stuff over the last... it's almost been, what, 3 years playing Destiny, so...
yeah. Yeah, I think the, like, Season of the Undying, I was still getting back into the game, and so there was, like, tons for me to do. Season of Dawn, like, I really enjoyed that season and the activities and stuff. And then, this season, I'm just like, I don't know if it's because I've done so much already, or if it's because, like, the seasonal activities just aren't interesting. But
Andre, did you ever get the Jotun?
I'm, like, a few frames away from getting it.
I think it's actually, like, a random drop in one of the forges.
It's not anymore. No. It's, you have to do, like, 10 legendary or whatever weapon drops or whatever they're called for Ada. And then you get it. You just get it. That and the Monarch.
And did you ever do the fake raid to get the Wish Ender bow?
Yep, I did that. Yeah, I've gotten, like, most the important stuff. I just, you know, there's a few things I haven't bothered.
All right. But. No, Jotun's worth it. I'm just like,
yeah, I'll get it. Someday.
Hitting people anyway. Right in the nuts and watching them explode.
Nah, I've had it happen to me many times. Speaking of getting hit in the nuts and exploding,
that's a terrible segue to Bastion.
As I was gonna say, you guys are right about 5 minutes. Joel, the seasons. I don't know who had started that, but if you remember Overwatch competitive seasons.
Competitive seasons?
Yes. Whenever you do competitive, it would be for a short, like, 2.5 month span. And then there would be a break where you just kind of hang out, and then there would be competitive season again where you'd be like, oh, competitive's back. Now we're going to jump into that. They most, like, these games that are just, like, you know, content loops are doing content seasons now where it'll go along with the competitive season. That goes the same with, like, Apex Legends and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Battle Pass thing. It's the Battle Pass model. So it's 3 months of a Battle Pass, and to tie into that, they use, like, a seasonal activity and, like, some story stuff. But
I mean, guys, I got no going back. I already have a ghost tattooed on my arm, so...
That is true.
We all make mistakes. It's okay.
Hey, Joel. Go home.
Okay, now, Getty, you played Bastion.
I did.
Bastion from Supergiant Games.
And Joel... wait, so... all right, so Alex, you have?
Yep.
Andre?
Yeah, I played it.
At some point.
A long time,
okay. Yeah, no, I was late to this party because it was on sale. So, Joel, I'm not going to spoil anything for you.
Spoil the shit out of it. I'm playing Animal Crossing.
And, like, right now you're actually playing?
Yeah, I can listen and Animal Cross at the same time.
Gotta pay Tom Nook back.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, punch Tom Nook in the dick for me.
Gotta pay the tax man.
All right, so... I thought you might actually play this one because it's by that same studio
that did Pyre. Yep,
and Hades,
and Hades,
and Transistor. Hades,
Transistor.
And Transistor. So what can I actually say about Bastion? Top down adventure,
isometric
adventure game. Can we call it adventure
with a narrator that narrates everything that's happening?
He narrates the shit out of it. to the
all time.
Yeah, narrator. To the point where if you accidentally fall off the side of the map, he's like, "But that wasn't actually the end."
Or yeah. Or like it's like you get killed, and he goes, "Well, he wasn't the most perfect hero, but."
That doesn't surprise me. Supergiant Dames, just by the one game I've played with them, their attention to detail is stellar.
So, this game, with all of the... between the music, the way that the game just flows, it walks you through a path to get from spot to spot, and it's pretty much point to point. It drops you in different map segments as you go through. But also, the aesthetics of the game are just really nice. I had a lot of fun with the weapons. They at one point, I actually felt overloaded with weapons, and I would just err back to what I preferred. But it was actually really great.
Did you?
I don't know about you guys.
Did you feel like an emotional attachment to that game? Because like that, that was the first one of theirs I actually played, and that
I think
it's also their first game.
Yeah, but I felt an emotional attachment with all the games that I played from the studio. So for this one, it like going through every step, like, all right, we're gonna build the Bastion back up to create this place where people can come back to this civilization after the world has gone through a cataclysm. And with the narrator, it just paints this beautiful picture of even when you mess up, it's fun, but as you're like doing well, he's also making you feel good about yourself. So with all of that, all of the different ways that you can upgrade your character, either going from the slight upgrade of being able to level up, which is pretty difficult in this game, but being able to equip an additional potion, which is one of the buildings that you can unlock through the course of the game, makes you feel rewarded. The challenges that it sets you into doing are... some of them were pretty stupid, but I still felt pretty good about completing like 80% of them. And the challenges will be something as simple as shoot an enemy 12 times, or, and not quite that, but it was like try and kill two enemies within a certain amount of time by stabbing one of them and then throwing your spear at the other one.
Yes, because you get different weapons throughout the combat.
Yeah, so it tries to pin them to the weapons. Some of them is just stepping on so many tiles during the course of the game. But those made me feel like I actually accomplished something. Overall, it was a very just soothing narration that led me through the whole story. And then, of course, I went with the really sappy ending.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, they don't really give you a whole lot of options for endings, but they definitely give you, like, you know, give you a little bit of variation that makes...
just a couple.
Yeah. And it tells a story that doesn't seem far-fetched, but also could be out of a book. And the way that art is, it was, again, one of those ones I always reference that you could have, like, taken any frame of that game, paused it, and then just, like, put it on a canvas and then put it on your wall. It was just beautiful art the whole way through.
Yeah, but, again...
yeah, Supergiant has some of the best art in the game. I think the Transistor, like, cover art is probably my favorite game art of all time. I just wish I liked that game more.
Alex actually finished it a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and it isn't Bastion for sure, but I liked the story enough for me to feel like it was like the story.
Your games have evolved.
I don't dislike it. Yeah, I don't dislike it. I just wish I liked it more.
I agree. Now, if you want to see some art, they released a vinyl record for Transistor.
What?
Oh, yeah, cool. It's the cover. There's like three different covers on it, and it looks really good.
But that just goes to the point that the music is also fantastic. The way that it progresses, and as you're going through the levels, it actually makes you feel comfortable when you're just exploring, and then when you hit a battle, it lets you know that you're fighting.
Yeah.
It does, like, the high peaks. It's trying to make you more aware and looking around like, hey, something is going to happen right now.
Along with that narrator.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like walking into a room with waist-high cover in Mass Effect or Gears of War.
Hey, wait a second. I know what's going to happen here. Oh, actually, did you guys even start Gears yet?
I am into Act 2.
And Joel is into...
I don't want to talk about it.
He's playing Animal Crossing right now.
Okay.
But, no, right. Bastion is the high water mark for those. Though I'm told really good things about Hades that's in early access. Alec, our friend who likes roguelike games, has been talking that one up quite a bit.
I mean, I've thought about getting that because of the ties to Greek mythology, so...
Mm. And again, it's an early access roguelike or roguelite, I don't know.
But...
I'm waiting for it to come out of early access before I dive in.
Still have to finish Pyre, too. I feel like I'm really far behind on that.
I should play that, too.
But for now, we're going to use this time to transition out of the backlog blog and into Guest Spot. Guest Spot, where we learn a little bit about our guest. Now, Andre, we've heard quite a bit about Gaming Fix from Pat, but please tell us a little bit more about yourself, as well as your living in Japan. What made you travel there?
Well, when I was 5 years old, I saw this little TV show called Dragon Ball Z. And also I got a PlayStation, and basically I thought every video game came from Japan. I was like, this Spyro game, it probably came from Japan. This Grinch game, the licensed Grinch game, probably came from Japan. All these games.
I was going to say you got a PlayStation. No,
Harry Potter game from Japan. Yeah.
Hold on, so we can date ourselves. Andre, how much younger are you than us?
I was born in 1993.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. We're old as shit.
That's only 7 years.
What I was going to say is that you like Dragon Ball Z, and then I'm surprised you never played any of those Dragon Ball PlayStation 1 like imports, because that would have turned you off the whole thing.
I did not play any of those games. I don't think I knew about them.
They're real bad.
I think the first Dragon Ball game I would have known about would have been Legacy of Goku for the GBA. And that game was weirdly hard.
Yes, it was. I definitely played that.
Legacy of Goku 2 and Boo's Fury, those are all-time great games for the GBA and just in general. And then, like, I played all the, like, Budokai games and Tenkaichi games on PS2, but I never played any of the PS1 games.
Yeah, they were all rough.
But yeah, so I got into Japanese culture through that and, like, anime and stuff like that as a kid, and then I took Japanese in high school for 4 years. I forgot it all after graduation. And then I like to travel, so I was like, I want to live abroad, and I like Japan, so I did a homestay when I was 16, so I had been here before. I just came, and I teach English, and it's all right.
You see, Alex, things could have been different if our high school actually taught Japanese.
I mean, you don't have to speak Japanese to move.
No,
here,
yeah, you definitely
English,
don't.
But
I would have felt better about it.
Sure, that's fair.
I learned 5 phrases to get me by out there, so that was okay. Also, it turned me on to the bidet.
It's one of the top 5 things here, and it's a shame that America is not more widely adopted it.
We might be on that way there.
I remember the last time I sat on a cold toilet seat, and it was unpleasant. My warm toilet seat, I cannot live without.
When we came back, we ballin'. Like, instantly. We're like, no, that's going to be a present to us. Though I can do without their beds, though.
The futon? Yeah, I just got an actual bed, like, this month.
Getty, you wrote this next one, right? Cats or dogs?
Yeah. Andre, cats or dogs?
Dogs, 100%.
Yes.
Dog was my first word.
Wow.
Oh, nice. Did you have some growing up then?
We had, like, 4 dogs when I was a baby, and they would run through the house, and I would count them going, dog, dog, dog. At one point, the dogs did... I think because of the dogs, like, my family just let the dogs run through the house, run wild. But somehow I got out the door because, like, the door was left open so the dogs could get in and out. And then I fell off the porch while I was in my walker thing. So that would explain some of my oddness, maybe.
Makes sense. Now, how long have you lived in Japan?
About 2.5 years, okay. I think. I came in August 2017.
So you're pretty used to the culture now? It's not really, like...
I'm used to the culture in my area. I live in the Kansai area, which is like Osaka, Kyoto, Shiga, that kind of area. It's very, here it's very laid back, which is very comfortable for me, at least where I live. When I first came here, I was an alternate, so I was like, I had a job, but in case they didn't know where I was going to work, so they're waiting to see like if someone didn't work out or quit unexpectedly or something like that. So while I was waiting around, someone down in Kagoshima on the southern part of the mainland was like their visa didn't come through in time, so they were coming late. So I had to go down and substitute for like 2 weeks. And I was living in a hotel that whole time. It's a small town. They were very strict at the junior high school. Like during cleaning time, the students clean all the schools, usually after lunch or something like that, or at the end of the day. And they're like having me help the students. And I'm like, oh, this is so fun, right? Talking with the kids. And they're like, no talking at all during cleaning time. I'm like, what? No talking? Really? What? One, I hate cleaning. Two, why can't I talk to the students? That's why I'm here, isn't it? To like engage with
the also, students. Also, it makes the time pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So I'm glad I am where I am because things are very laid back. Even like, even though the academic level of the students isn't the highest, I still have fun and I can be very relaxed and not have to like be stressed all the time, which is great for me.
They do have some really, they're kind of strict and I don't want to say odd, but just different ways. I remember I ran onto a bus with a corn dog. And he yelled at me. He said, "Don't eat corn dog." And I said, "Okay, I won't eat the corn dog." Which, of course, 5 seconds into the trip, I just kind of bend down, mouth open. He goes, "Nope, no eating on the." I'm like, "Man, he's just hold on. He's driving now. He can't see me. No eating on the bus. Okay, fine. I'll stop trying to eat this corn dog on the bus."
Generally like eating and moving is frowned upon. You're not supposed to like eat and walk at the same time because it's like you're supposed to sit or at least like stand stationary and enjoy your food. But you'll often see foreigners walking around eating or whatever. But, you know, it's whatever.
Now, what is your favorite flavored Kit Kat?
I'm not a big Kit Kat fan. They're fine. I think it was around Christmas. There was one that had like cranberries and like nuts, it had, like embedded, like chunks of cranberry and stuff embedded into the chocolate, which I liked. I sent my mom like $80 worth of Kit Kats for Christmas the first year I was here because she loves Kit Kats. And so I just went to like Don Quixote and I bought all the flavors of Kit Kats I could find and sent them to
her. I like the wasabi ones.
Yeah, those are all right. I think my mom wasn't a fan, but, you know.
You change that so I can't ask Andre if I can Venmo him to send me Kit Kats.
No, you could definitely do that. Feel free.
I mean, if you want to send you Kit Kats, we can arrange that.
All right.
Tell me what flavors you want, and I can, I'll send you
a little. We'll send them to Alex's house.
You ain't got to tell me twice. I'll eat them. It was a big joke that my wife goes, yeah, they have Kit Kats. We get it. And I'm like, no, I need to buy them all. I need to try every single one.
That's a fool's
errand.
They
had some that were like in like glass cases that came in a giant box and it was like three Kit Kats. It was like the, I think it was the sake flavor or one of the liquor flavors. And I was just like.
Yeah. The sake come in like a strange like shaped box. And they're a
Kit Kat black label.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So everywhere we went, I was just buying it. Like she goes, you're spending seriously like $100 each time, like a bunch of like different flavors. I'm like, all right, that's what I'm gonna do now. Mm-hmm. Not a fan of the cheesecake though. That flavor wasn't great.
I think there was like a Kobe pudding, which is kind of like a flan, I think, or Kobe pudding is pretty good too. But
So what are you studying?
I'm studying Japanese. I teach English, but I study Japanese on the side. But this month, my Japanese class on Fridays was canceled because of coronavirus. But I guess next week they're starting back up. I got to wear a mask. A little silly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm trying to take there's like a fluency test or a Japanese language test. And there are five levels, five being the lowest, one being the highest. And, like, one is, like, you have to be a Japanese language nerd to, like, really do well on. And, like, even Japanese people, like, it asks for, like, some stuff that they might, like, a normal person might not know. But or they have to really think about. I'm hoping to take the 4 this summer and maybe the 3 in December. It's only twice a year. And the 3 is kind of what you need to get something like a like an actual job and not just like a English teaching job. English teaching is an actual job, but like to get out of that career path. So yeah, but I don't speak enough. Even though my girlfriend is Japanese, she speaks English, so that's all we speak.
You met her there?
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
But shortly after I moved here.
Which anime is best?
You're asking tough questions here.
I wrote that question.
In my heart of hearts, like, I love Dragon Ball. Like, there's, like, that's always going to be, like, number one in my heart.
Z?
But
GT? What?
Yes, Dragon Ball Z.
GT.
That is specifically Dragon Ball Z.
I'm a GT guy. Screw you guys.
You know, I don't hate GT. I don't hate GT. But Z is, like, going to be the one in my heart. I love Yu Yu Hakusho. Bleach is pretty good. I watched Naruto, and there's too much filler in there. And, like, too many flashbacks. But lately, I've been reading One Piece. The manga, not the anime. But... holy hell, is that a good story. It's just really fun, funny, and kind of perfect for right now in our current political environment, I feel. A bunch of ragtag folks fighting against the world government.
I watched a little bit of it, and what was his name, Luffy?
Uh-huh.
Luffy? He seems like a dick.
Really?
He's classic anime protagonist. Well, I mean,
but the first happy-go-lucky in my book.
Want to, like, respect him and want to fight
with
him.
But the other part was, he goes, oh, I don't care what you're feeling. Screw you. Like, he's like, this is...
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's an idiot. but that's, like... So, Shonen Jump has a subscription for $2 a month where you can get their entire back catalog of everything they've ever published and are going to publish. And that's how I've been reading One Piece. I'm, like, 600 chapters in out of, like, 950 currently, and it's still going. And it's funny because I'm like in around chapter 500. He's like, "Yeah, I'm thinking of wrapping it up soon." Still going.
No, so
he's like, "I meant this to be like a 5-year comic, and now it's almost like 20 years or something."
So, hold on, is it hard? Do they do the hard copies or digital?
It's all digital. So I'm reading on an iPad. So yeah, they still sell Shonen Jump, but you get. It's just you get access to the entire back catalog via digital copy of, like, everything they've ever published.
Gotcha. Okay, Pat talked about the roots of Gaming Fix and how you guys all kind of met up randomly. But do you guys see any projects in the future, obviously, besides your, like, big 13-hour game of the year?
I mean, I'd like us to do more review stuff. It's hard when, you know, everyone's working, and it's, like, kind of a voluntary thing. I was doing some editing and reviews for some other sites, but I kind of walked back from that to focus more on getting stuff done for the fix.space site, where you can go and find our reviews and our podcast. Like, I'm going to write a review with Alex from Gaming Fix for Doom. We're going to, like, collaborate on that. Probably write one for Half-Life Alex. Stuff like that, because I want to write more, but it's just, you know, finding the time and energy when, you know, you work all day and then you get home. You're like, I'd rather just play games. I don't want to write about games right now. But yeah, so that's kind of the big thing I'd like to do, is get more games written and start getting, like, code in. And I'd like to do more video production, but again, it's like a time and energy.
Maybe then we should do some, like, team-ups, because we have... like, we have the ideas for, like, I want to say 4 other, like, side shows that we're just like, I don't know. We record one podcast a week, plus we all Twitch stream for our channel. So it's like, I don't know if we'd have time for all of it.
Yeah. I'm totally open to collaboration, and, like, because that's, if you want to, like, go somewhere in the game industry, which I would like to get into PR eventually, that, you know, collaborating and helping other people get up so they can help you up and whatever. I think that's all very important.
Yeah, Andre, how do you like to do your work and our work?
That's bold.
You know, I'll send you my PayPal and we can...
I'm told you have a lot of time right now.
So Daddy did the Venmo. I did the PayPal. Okay.
Yeah.
Second class citizen.
Actually, I can't use Venmo because I don't have a U.S. phone number. I was just looking at that like a few weeks ago. Like, oh, well. Also, my PayPal's fucked because I actually finally was like, I should probably take it off my old U.S. number, huh? And then they're like, you need a U.S. phone number, and a Skype number doesn't work. Can't get a Google Voice without a landline or like a U.S. number. It's,
you can't have a Google
Voice. I'll give you my work phone number. I don't use that for anything.
You need... I'm talking to my mom tomorrow, so I'll get it figured out. But, yeah, it's been like, oh, my PayPal is kind of unusable at the moment. Oh well, we'll fix it.
Where are you originally from?
I am from Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, home of the Ducks. And yeah, green and yellow. Used to be Donald Duck in like the 50s, and then Disney was like, hey, we're going to stop this handshake deal we got, and then no longer Donald Duck.
You guys still got family out there?
My mom and my brother live there. I would like to move back to Pacific Northwest someday. It's the most beautiful place in the world, in my opinion. But right now, I'm kind of waiting on healthcare to be not bad in the States.
You probably got a while.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll go back someday. We'll see. Starting a family in Japan is probably easier if I decide I want to do that, but I would like to go back to America at some point. We'll see.
How many Gundam statues have you seen?
I did not write this.
Well, I've got the one on my desk, the Gundam Wing.
No,
Wing
I mean
Zero,
the actual giant statues.
Models that have, oh, well.
Wait. Probably. While we're on that topic, do you have anything else?
I've got a Ultra Instinct Goku statue that my girlfriend brought me from the arcade.
Nice.
And then I've got three other Dragon Ball statues. One is like is Goku and Vegeta. Like you put them together and they're like back to back from the Broly movie.
I also have that.
Like 2 years ago. And then a Gogeta statue that I got. I got those three from my school on my last day. That was like their going away gift.
Nice.
For me.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. My predecessor got a tie clip. I got some Dragon Ball statues.
You win.
Yeah.
But the Gundam statues, I think I've seen one, maybe two. They did replace the Gundam in Odaiba. I've seen it a few times, but I can't remember if they replaced it before I got here or after I got here. It's like now it's like the Unicorn.
Okay,
Gundam.
Yeah. I saw the one near the Statue of Liberty?
Yep,
okay.
That's in Odaiba.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Have you been to Team
Labs?
Yes, that place is awesome. I took my mom about a year ago, today. Yeah, Team Lab Borderless. It's cool. I wanted to go again and take my girlfriend, but we had to cancel our show.
I always recommend Team Labs.
RIP.
My last question here. Can we talk about sleep streams? Have you heard of this?
Is that he's watching
yes.
people sleep? I mean, I guess we can talk about it. I've never done it.
I'm just curious about like how that is a thing that exists in the world.
You know, some people, I don't know. It's who have you seen it? Who are you seeing doing?
No, I've looked it up. I've read it's a thing, and then I pulled up Twitch and I searched sleep streams, and it came up with several options with the preview videos, and I said no.
It's all fun and games until someone wakes up in the middle of their 8-hour sleep stream to plug some like advanced GG or whatever. Censor that. Don't give them money. Don't give them advertising. I don't know. Whatever makes people happy. If they're filling a need, it's like ASMR but sleeping.
No, not for me. What I want is I want them to wake up in with night terrors. Or that really messed up thing where they wake up and sleep, what is it, they can't move?
Yeah. Sleep paralysis?
That sounds hilarious.
Like sleep paralysis. Have you ever had have
no,
you ever
but it
had
sounds
paralysis?
Like a visceral experience to watch and be engaged with somebody.
I don't know if you could. I don't know. Because you might not even realize unless maybe they'd freak out. I don't know. That's, I have had sleep paralysis.
I'm a little more into karmic justice humor than somebody freaking out.
Some shot at Freud.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my mood right now.
No, I'm for the human experience. You ever see that stream where it was just Shia LaBeouf as he sat in a theater for like 48 hours watching all of his films in a row. That was the real shit.
Something wrong with you.
I felt for him.
Did you go to his performance art where he sat with a plastic bag over, or like a paper bag over his head?
No,
over,
that,
and just cried at people when they stared at him?
That's too real for me. All right. Thank you so much, Andre, for being on our show. Do you want to tell us where everybody can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Coolslaw, COOLSL4W. I sometimes tweet about games, and can follow Gaming Fix at Fix Podcasts on Twitter, I believe. I always forget which one it is, because we've got too many names. Yeah, at Fix Podcasts, Gaming Fix on Facebook, but we're not as active on there. You can catch us streaming the podcast on Twitch, Mixer, YouTube, Facebook. If you just search Gaming Fix or follow us on Twitter, you'll see that go live. We usually stream Saturday mornings, so like on America time, that's usually Sunday night for me, or no, Saturday night. Time zones. So yeah, but you can also catch us on whatever podcast platform you like, or go to fix.space. Oh, that's Fix with a Y. Maybe if you heard last week, Pat explaining why that is. there actually is another Gaming Fix podcast with a normal spelling, but they hadn't uploaded podcasts in a long time, so we just went with the FYX spelling. So a little more behind the scenes goodness for you. So just follow us there and keep up with us. Sometimes we give away games. Last year we did for episode 100, we did a big game giveaway or something like that.
Then it's what you guys, since we've created our podcast, we've kind of gotten into the community of like seeing all these different podcasts. And I think you guys have really like been a back and forth that we really enjoyed, and hanging out with you guys, talking with you guys. We even did where we watch the Game Awards, that kind of stuff. I think that's where I'd like to see more like a collaboration between all of us hanging out and just doing a stream.
Yeah, absolutely. Like for me, it's hard just because of time zone stuff, like, and because of like work. So like right now, normally I'd be in work because it's 12:20 on a Friday. But yeah, so normally I'd be in work, but now I'm on spring break, so I can be on, you know, happy stuff like that. So when I'm available, I definitely want to try and get into more people's communities and stuff. But it's very easy for me to just go like head down. I'm going to play some games and not talk to anybody too. So I got to fight that instinct.
Well, again, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to one last thing. One last thing, where we have one last statement, one last sentence to send us into the weekend and you, the listener, into the weekday. For me, surprisingly enough, working from home has decreased my gaming. Who would have thunk? I am sadness. Also, I'm growing a Quarren beard. Joel?
That's two sentences. Yes.
They always take money for that.
So I made a mud cake tonight, and
it's sad.
It is sad. So this thing, I heated it up and then poured a bunch of the frosting from the packet they gave you for it, and I took a picture, and it just basically, it looks fecal on the top of it. Let's put it that way. And then I also found out after the fact that whole packet that I poured on top of mine was meant to be for three different mud cakes.
Nice.
Did you eat the whole thing?
He did.
I likely ate the whole thing. Yes.
Likely.
Likely.
Getty?
I don't know how I can follow that up. It's too good. I don't know which one of you guys is editing this week, but I'm going to apologize for my shopping on the eShop during Early Adopters, and the news definitely got Star Wars Jedi Academy. So
I've never felt so disrespected.
Should you, though?
Andre, what's your one last thing?
Stars.
That was pretty good.
I don't know if that's in the new game, but it makes me think of the movies.
Can I do another take on that?
Stars.
Okay.
Okay, I feel better about that. That's one.
Good. That was really good. And that will be it for this week's Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on Twitter at Super GG Radio and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where I played some Division 2, and at this time it was on PS4, so my graphics didn't look like they were N64 graphics. Joel took some time for Animal Crossing because you love Animal Crossing.
I'm sorry, what?
That was a pleasant stream, let me tell you. It felt like a warm soup belly.
Yeah, you know, I might need to take a break from what we normally do and just play some Animal Crossing. I need some self-care right now, you know?
You didn't want to buy that when it came out either.
I was trying to convince myself not to, mostly because I didn't want to buy a Switch and a second copy for Kelly, too. But it worked out exactly as I expected, so.
Also, we have currently, they just ended their stream. Kevin and his wife, Sam. I'm never going to remember the name of this show.
That's okay.
Keeping it together with Sam and Kevin. Getting it together.
Is the joke that they're getting a divorce if they, like, do badly?
No.
Like, what?
This is, like, their fourth playthrough, so, man, I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. And then we also are going back to Metal Gear Kevin doing Metal Gear Solid 4. He is sneaking around to smooth jazz in a way that I tuned in just at the moment where he's like, oh, Snake's freaking out. His stress level's high. I got the answer for that. And cranks up the smooth jazz.
How far into Metal Gear Solid 4?
He just beat the first boss.
Ah, the octopus. Okay, I should check out that stream. Because that game, I have put a lot of time into that game, and I think it's very good. I got, like, the big boss run, which is, like, hardest difficulty on under 5 hours. No alerts, no kills.
Wow. He's not doing that. He's not doing that.
It's very difficult. You got to do some bullshit in the motorcycle chase scene. But bouncing smoke grenades off walls.
Oh, really?
And stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bonkers. But thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
If you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is superggradio@gmail.com. And provide a review on iTunes or the narcoleptic Twitch stream of your choice. Thanks for listening. GG, Joel.
GG.
GG, Getty.
Good game.
GG, Andre.
GG, easy, Alec.
Good night, everybody.